Our Father, I pray that in the midst of all the announcements and things that we have to do periodically in the church to keep the church informed as to what's going on in our community, in our area, and ministry opportunities, I pray, Lord, that now that this is behind us, at least for a short time, till after the service, we have a couple of other things to take care of. But Lord, I pray you'll help us to get our focus on you. I want to thank you for a man of God who was standing in the pulpit and lead us in worship on Sunday morning, who always, always leads us to Christ. I want to thank you for Pruitt and our choir and our musicians. I want to thank you for the children, our students being involved this morning. And Lord, I just it blesses my heart and my soul to see them up here singing and being part of our worship time. And Lord, I pray you will bless them and bless our choir, bless our music program, Lord, our tech people. Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for every person that rolls their sleeves up and serves here in this church. And Lord, those who go off and serve in other areas, like in the mountains in North Carolina, to help these displaced people put their houses back together again. And Lord, I pray you will move on our hearts and help us to have a desire to do that and to serve you in that capacity. Now, Lord, it's come time for us to open your word, the most important time in the service. And Lord, I pray that as we open your word today, as I read it, as I explain it, Lord, that you will help me today to say exactly what needs to be said, nothing more and nothing less. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless our hearts with your word. Oh, God, please speak to those that are lost. And Lord, save them today. And those that are saved, but God, may be out of your will, Lord, I pray that you will help them to see their need to get back into your will. And Lord, you know all of our needs today. There may be some here that are hurting. Lord, they're carrying around a burden in their heart and in their soul and on their mind. Lord, I pray for them. I pray for anyone in our virtual audience that, Lord, that needs Jesus. I pray they'll be saved. I pray those that are burdened, their burdens will be lifted. And Lord, I just ask you to bless this time. And so, Lord, move on us today by the power of your Spirit. May your word, your powerful word, sharper than any two-edged sword, pierce the deepest parts of our beings today. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and to praise you and rejoice in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. This will be message 3 in the series on the subject of heaven. Now, last week, last Sunday morning, we examined Revelation 21:1 along with 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, concerning the disappearance of the existing heaven and earth. And according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, when the day of the Lord arrives like a thief in the night, suddenly and unexpectedly, the Bible tells us that a cataclysmic event will occur. And what is that event? The Bible says that the heavens and the earth, as we know now, will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements shall dissolve or melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works in it shall be burned up. Now, in Revelation 21:1, the Bible says after that event takes place, John said he saw a new heaven and a new earth. Look at that verse with me. We'll read it once again. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, so today we're going to, after we've seen the disappearance of the existing heaven and earth, today in verse 2 of Revelation 21, we're going to see the descent of the new Jerusalem. And let's read that verse. It says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, as we look at this verse together, I want us to consider two things, or notice two things. First of all, I want you to notice that John was an eyewitness to the descent of the New Jerusalem. Look at what he says. He says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." Now remember, this John is the John, the disciple of Jesus. And he wasn't just a passive observer here. He was an eyewitness to the descent of the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Now, it's interesting to note that the Bible tells us that John was one of Jesus' closest disciples. And most of us know that. He was the author of the Gospel of John, three epistles, the book of the Revelation. And the Bible tells us that John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, we think about that and we can't think help or to think about what the Bible says in Revelation 1, 1 through 3, and then chapter 1, verses 9 through 19. Because the Bible tells us here in the beginning of the book of the Revelation that Jesus himself chose John to be the one to see these things and to write them down. Listen to what is said in Revelation 1, 1 through 3. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show," that is to expose to the eyes, to reveal, if you please, "unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." And so John saw Jesus, and listen, this is interesting too, that we're going to read in just a moment. John saw Jesus in his glorified state, and Jesus gave John specific instructions on what he was to do. So let's look at Revelation 1, again reading in verse 9. "I, John," and this is John telling what happened as he was banished to the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ and for the word of God. He says, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos and to Thyatira, and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." Now listen to this carefully. "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps," that is the chest, "with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Now listen, here are his instructions to John. "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." Now look at verse 19. If you want to know how to understand the book of the Revelation, the key to understanding the book of the Revelation is found in verse 19. Look at what he says. He said to John, "Write the things which thou hast seen," which was the things that he was going seeing right then, the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified state. He said, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are going to come in the future, and the things which shall be hereafter. And so he's talking about now in the present, as John was there on the Isle of Patmos, and the things that would happen in the future. It is divided into three different sections in the book of the Revelation. We're in the very last section in Revelation chapter 21. But getting back to the message, I want you to see that Jesus handpicked John. He chose him to be the one to receive the revelation that we have written to us in the book of the Revelation. Now, the second thing I want you to notice from this verse is this, and that is the descent revealed, the descent of the New Jerusalem coming down revealed the eternal residence of the redeemed. You see, what we see here in Revelation 21:2 is the descent of the New Jerusalem, which represents the home of all redeemed people. That is going to be our home in heaven. That is going to be the home of every single person that is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see four or five things here. First of all, as we think about this eternal residence of the redeemed, I want you to see a few things. First of all, this eternal residence of the redeemed is a holy place. Look at what he says in the verse. He says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. Now that word holy comes from the Greek word hagios. And hagios means holy, sacred, or set apart. Did you hear me? It means holy, sacred, set apart, and is used to describe things, places, and people dedicated to God or considered by God to be sacred, a most holy thing. So this city that John said that he saw, it is a holy city. Now, in contrast to our earthly home, this new home is completely opposite. As you know, we live in a sinful world. This is a sinful world where we are constantly seeing and encountering, experiencing pain, sorrow, death, crime, you name it, it's here. And we know that that is because of sin, S-I-N. But in this new home, this new Jerusalem, this place that you and I will someday call home if we're saved and born again, this place is holy. Holy. You say, why is it holy? I'll tell you why it's holy. Because God is there. God is there. Look at what he says in verse 3. And we're going to come back to this verse next week if Jesus tarries. I just want to read it right now. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he, God, will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. That means that in this holy city, God is present. Jesus Christ is present. The Holy Ghost is present. God is going to be there, and God won't have anything to do with sin. This is going to be a holy, pure, peaceful, beautiful place like no one has ever seen or known before. Matter of fact, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Folks, we're going to go through these verses of Scripture, and I'm going to do my best as I continue in this study, if the Lord allows me to do that, to describe for you this beautiful place. We're not going to get into it today, per se, but later on, if God, Jesus tarries and nothing happens, I'm going to do my best to describe what this place is like based on what we find in Scripture. But it is beyond our human comprehension, believe me. And so this place is a holy place because God is there. Secondly, notice the eternal residence of the redeemed is a holy city. Did you hear that word? City, a holy city. And I thought about that and I thought, what significance could there be in the word city? And I just looked the word city up. And a city is not only, we think of a city, we think of big buildings and a bustling place, you know. But what makes the place such a bustling place It is because of the residents that live there. And as I thought about that, I thought, my word, this is going to be a holy city. This word city reminds us of a place of inhabitants, with inhabitants. This is where we're going to live for eternity, forever and ever and ever. Our houses down here, they mean a lot to us. Thank God we have houses with roofs over our head and shelter and a place that we can keep warm in the winter and cool in the summer. Thank God for those things, with all the blessings that God gives us. But folks, listen, you can have the most beautiful mansion built and prepared for you that's sitting on this globe, wherever it may be on this globe. You can have it built and have it full of gold and silver and all kind of things, and yet none of that can compare to this place. The holy city, the place of residence, inhabitants, where all saved people will be. And listen, now I want you to understand, this place is for special people. I've already said to you from a previous message that heaven is a prepared place, but is a prepared place for prepared people. Only those who are saved will get into this place. Only those who are saved. That is, they're redeemed, they're saved from the power and the penalty of their sin. And the reason they're saved is because of Jesus. You see, one, in order to get to the Father, in order to get to heaven, one must go through Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, no person cometh unto the Father in heaven but by me, Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter 3 that unless you were born again, you will never see the kingdom of God, you will never enter into the kingdom. You'll never enter, nor will you ever see it. You've got to be saved and born again. And it's interesting that back here on over in chapter 21, in verses 24 and 27, listen to this. It says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of that city, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it, that is, into this holy city, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, watch this, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So only the saved will inhabit this place. Only those who have been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Only those who have gone by the cross and been crucified as Jesus was crucified. I'm not talking about literally on a cross. I'm talking about inwardly. One has crucified themselves to their flesh and to the sin and sin nature that they have inside of them. And one has trusted Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Those are the only ones that will enter this city. Those are the inhabitants of this holy city. Now, I want you to see a third thing here, and that is this. The eternal residence is referred to as the New Jerusalem. I thought that was interesting. It's referred to as the New Jerusalem. Now, this title and reference is in contrast to the earthly Jerusalem. And Jerusalem has always been a very important place in history, in not only in biblical history, but just in history. Jerusalem is the city of Jerusalem is a very important place, but this new Jerusalem is going to serve as the capital of the renewed earth. The Bible portrays the earthly Jerusalem as a city of great significance, chosen by God as a center of worship, a place of God's dwelling, and a symbol of hope and redemption with the promise of future restoration and peace. But here we see the promise fulfilled in this new Jerusalem. It's going to be exactly what God intended for it to be in the very beginning, which will be inhabited by God and all of His people. Verse 2 again, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He, God, will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. What a thought to live in the very presence of God every single day. You know, we can't see God. Not with our eyes, our physical eyes. We can't see Him. No one can see God and live, the Bible says. God is spirit. But can you imagine living in a place where God is present? And the whole place is going to be illuminated with His glory. We're going to see in this study that there'll be no need of the sun, the moon, the stars. There'll be no need of the illuminary lights that we see that we use today. There'll be no need of that. Why? Because the Bible says that in heaven, in this new Jerusalem, where all redeemed people will live, the light that will be there, that will light that whole city, and listen, it is a huge place, believe me. I'm going to share that with you later on, Lord willing, how big this place is. But just think about it. This place is going to be illuminated with the glory of God. Now, we've never seen the glory of God. But according to the Bible, the glory of God is something to see. But we will live forever and ever basking in the presence and the glory of God. What a day that will be when Jesus Christ we will see. Next, I want you to notice the eternal residence comes down from God out of heaven. When John saw the city descend out of heaven, it was already built. He said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. I believe this is the city that the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Abraham looked for. Hebrews 11:10 says, For he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The city descends from the... Listen, and I believe the city... You say, well, where's it coming from? If John was caught up in the Spirit, you know, where's this city coming from? Well, evidently it was coming from the third heaven where God exists. Remember, I told you about the three heavens. That the third heaven is where God lives. And so evidently... Jesus, and I relate this to what Jesus said in John 14. Remember, He told His disciples, Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I have to think, I have to believe that this that we're talking about, this holy city, is the place. It is the place that the architect of the universe has built for all saved, redeemed, born-again people. And John said he saw it coming down out of heaven. Now, what he's looking at as he's standing there is he's seeing this holy city drop down out of the third heaven, and evidently this great, humongous place is hovering somewhere over the earth at this present time where John is seeing it, but he sees it coming down out of heaven from God. And all he's able to see at the moment is the city itself. But oh, when he begins to take the tour of the city, what he sees, and we're going to look at that later on. The next thing and final thing I want you to notice is the eternal residence of the redeemed came down from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, isn't that interesting terminology that John would use that phrase? The holy city appeared to him, the beauty of it appeared to him as a bride adorned for her husband. In other words, John was trying to describe the breathtaking beauty of the city. Its splendor is beyond our earthly comprehension, radiating the glory of God, and this description should fill us with awe and amazement that He would say such a thing. And as we shall see in the future, in messages, if the Lord allows them, this place which Jesus and God the Father built will be beyond beautiful. The beauty and grandeur of heaven are beyond earthly comprehension, radiating the very glory of Almighty God. Now, you can read ahead if you would like and go on and read this this rest of this chapter in chapter 22, because John begins to describe what he saw inside that city. But we will cover that if the Lord's willing. But in closing this morning, I want to say this, that no one should miss going to this place. Matter of fact, did you know that God has made preparation and made plans for everybody to go? God has provided a means, a way in which everyone can go to this place when they die. Every single person. Does that mean every person will go? No. Because not everyone will be saved and born again. As I told you, the only way to reach this place is through Jesus Christ, His sacrificial and substitutionary death on the cross. He shed His blood on Calvary on our behalf, paid our sin debt in full. He pleased God and brought about whatever God's justice required for all men to be saved and born again. And through what Jesus Christ did in His shed blood on the cross, now all people can be saved. But there are people in our world today that are going about as though they'll never die, they'll never be sick, they'll never encounter or experience any kind of difficult situations in their life, and they're just living life. All they know how to do right now is just live life and live it up. Live it to the best they can and hope someday that things will get better or never grow worse. But I'm telling you, life can throw a curve at any moment. Death can come. Tragedy can come. Sickness can come. Storms can come. Anything can happen. So people need to make a decision now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Everyone needs to decide now, because you do not have another opportunity. You may not have another opportunity because the time is here. You may not have another second, minute, hour, week, month, or year. But God has made a way through Jesus Christ. And the new birth. One can be born from above and be born again. And when that happens, listen, when a new birth takes place, you know what happens? And I've heard some, there's some disagreement about this. I've heard people having confrontations about when a person's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the Bible does tell us that there is a book. Read Revelation chapter 20. It says, talking about the great white throne judgment, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books," plural, "were opened, and another book was opened," singular, "which is the book of life." The book of life is possessed by none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is His book. And every time a person is saved and born again, their name is written in His book. And the Bible says that the great white throne judgment of God, to give everyone that's there, that every wicked and sinful person that He is about to cast into the fiery pits of the lake of fire, He's going to open that book up. And He's going to see if their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if their name is not there, listen to what will happen. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Folks, if you want to get to heaven, you got to have your name in the book. Got to have your name in the book. And the only way you can get your name in the book is through Jesus and salvation through Him. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Not join a church, not being a good person, not doing a lot of service and ministry work for God. It's putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone for your eternal salvation, the salvation of your soul. He paid your sin debt in full. And the moment that you do that, if you've never done that, the moment you do that, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when time comes, you take your last breath, or Jesus returns, just like that, your soul, your eternal being, will leave your earthly body and you will go to be with the Lord. What a wonderful thing to know that God has not only provided the person of Jesus to save us, but He's provided a place, the New Jerusalem, a place called heaven, where God is and where we who know Him will be with Him someday forever and ever and ever. Do you know Him today? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Do you have a daily relationship with Jesus? Or is He just someone that you choose to bring off of a shelf when you're in need or in trouble? There's a big difference. One who has a relationship with Jesus will read their Bible. They will pray on a daily basis because they love God. They know God. They want to hear from God. And they know that it's right, and that's what they need to do. And if you're here today and you profess to be a believer in Jesus Christ and you don't have any interest in the Word of God and you don't have any interest in coming to church and you don't have any interest in praying to God, something is wrong in your spiritual life. Something is desperately wrong. And you need to check up to be sure you've checked in with Jesus and you've had your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for allowing me to preach one more time. Thank You for Your holy word. And Lord, I've just tried in a simple way to explain the verse that was before us this morning. And Lord, I just ask You to continue to bless us as we continue in this series, if You allow us to do that. And Lord, speak to our hearts and help us, Holy Father, to look forward to that day when we will see You face to face. We'll see the One who died for us as John saw You. And as he saw You in Your glorified state, he said he fell at Your feet as a dead man because he was so overwhelmed with Your glory. There's no way that we can begin to imagine what that day will be like. But it's coming. Our day's coming. We're drawing closer to death every day. Every second the clock ticks off, we're getting closer to eternity. We're getting closer to our eternal state. And Lord, everyone will have an eternal state. They will either be in heaven with God or they'll be in hell with the devil and his followers. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus today that You will reach down and have mercy and extend Your grace and love to that person or persons that are here today or may be watching that need Jesus. And Lord, only You can bring about a work in their hearts that You will give them a desire to want to be saved. They're not searching for You because they don't know You. It's only when You search them out and, Lord, You go to them and help them see their need of salvation and their sinful condition and the consequences of dying lost, will a person have a desire to come to Jesus. Oh, Father, bless this invitation. Save the lost. Encourage and bless and convict the saved. Lord, help us all to decide, make decisions that we need to make today. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.